Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, and a very happy Father's Day to all you dads out there who are celebrating. You deserve it because you work hard, and just like Rodney Dangerfield, you don't get enough respect. So we're dedicating this broadcast to Father's Day, and we got lots of stuff to share with you, not necessarily just male-oriented stuff. There's a great article in the New York Times just yesterday about a type of liver disease that is becoming increasingly common, and it doesn't have anything to do with hepatitis B or hepatitis C or even alcohol consumption. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about natural cures for liver disease in just a moment. 888-302-3684 if you want to get in on the conversation. Also, we'll talk about how many of us overestimate how much we exercise. Also, unfortunately, many of us underestimate how fat we are. So it's a deadly combination. 888-302-3684, some new news on vitamin D, very encouraging. But before we do that, I want to talk about one of my favorite products that I've developed. And I placed a bet on this product about 10 or 12 years ago when I was first developing some of the Hoffman Center products that are among the product offerings that we have at drhoffman.com. And that is olive leaf extract. Olive leaf extract is based on science that was undertaken by a major pharmaceutical company, Upjohn Pharmaceutical Company, in the 1960s. They isolated a natural compound present in olive leaf, which is called D-linolate or calcium D-linolate. It's a potent antibiotic, antifungal, antiviral. But ultimately, they decided to leave the patent by the wayside because they said, this is a natural product. We can't improve on Mother Nature. And so the research was there. It was left untouched. It was rediscovered in the 1990s. And then I got interested in olive leaf extract as a natural antibiotic, antifungal, antiviral, and used it a lot for treatment of minor infections and acne, particularly effective for acne, and also for yeast problems. The yeast connection, candida, very, very important concept in natural medicine. And as an alternative to some of the drugs that we use for treating candida or yeast infections, olive leaf is one of the best things that we have. We subsequently discovered that olive leaf has additional benefits. It's rich in hydroxytyrosol, which is a compound that protects the arterial walls, that has a good effect on the endothelium, the lining of the arteries, and helps to reduce blood pressure in some studies, reduces the risk of plaque and cardiovascular disease. We know that in the Mediterranean diet, possibly the single most important component of the Mediterranean diet for reducing the risk of heart attack and stroke is not just olive oil, but the polyphenols, the greenish, flavorful, aromatic components of olive oil that are rich in hydroxytyrosol are helpful for the circulatory system. So olive leaf extract, one of my favorite products. You can find it at drhoffman.com. And this program and the podcasts are free, but yeah, we wouldn't mind for you to take a gander at what we have at drhoffman.com because you can help subsidize all our free products like the newsletter, this radio program, and our podcasts. Put a lot of work into it, and that it'd be nice to get a little bit of support from our listening audience. But I unsolicited and totally coincidentally, this morning, I said I got an email, and I said I got to share this email with our listeners on the program today. So I'm featuring it on today's Health Talk. It's a little bit crudely written, and it comes to us from a guy in New Zealand, who apparently follows our website. So he read our article at drhoffman.com on olive leaf extract. And in that article, It starts, the Bible refers to the olive tree as the, quote, tree of life. Olives, the ripe fruit of the tree, yield healthy monounsaturated fats and phytochemicals, and on the article goes. So check out that article at drhoffman.com, because it was a real life-changing experience, apparently, for this guy in New Zealand who wrote, "Hi, I have suffered genital herpes for 10 years now. I have used colloidal silver for over 6 months. Nothing really beneficial to me. I have tried lysine, vitamin C, zinc, all in big doses. Nothing really beneficial. In fact, I had lesions every week popping up. I have been taking olive leaf for 9 days. I can say in 10 years, I am the best. Blisters have stopped and no more white spots under the skin. I have no signs of blisters or redness or ache in the genital area. My eyes are losing the redness and eye infections. It may be early, but to me, it is a miracle." He misspells the word miracle. But this guy's, his enthusiasm comes through, even if his spelling is not perfect. He says, "I am taking about 2,000 milligrams a day, which is the equivalent of 6 500-milligram capsules." That's what we provide, 500-milligram capsules. So six a day, that's doable. He, in all caps, you know, in an email, you're not supposed to write in all caps because that says you're yelling. So they still don't yell when you have writing something in all caps. But in all caps, he writes, "Let the world know, because it is showing me a future exists. I hold my breath now because it's too good to be true." Signed, Leo in New Zealand. So we're very happy to hear that for Leo, olive leaf is providing him with a miracle. And I mean, it really illustrates that it has powerful anti-infective blood cleansing properties, as was originally discovered many, many years ago. Lost knowledge, now resurrected in the natural products movement, that olive leaf, and truly an ancient remedy used for millennia in treatment of many health problems. Glad it's working for you, Leo, and thanks for sharing with our listeners here stateside. All right, let's take a call from let's take a break, because I want to give our next caller plenty of time to field her question. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this week our newsletter featured an article which I really enjoyed writing, which is 10 answers to questions that supplement skeptics may throw in your face. So, for example, you'll often hear supplement skeptics saying, you know, it's a waste of money because you're just making expensive urine. Or alternatively, there aren't enough studies about supplements. Or alternatively, that if supplements were so beneficial, they would be an accepted part of orthodox medicine. Well, those and seven other objections are part of what I demolish in this week's newsletter article. And if you subscribe to the newsletter at drhoffman.com, it'll go out to you on a weekly basis. But even if you don't subscribe, you can go to drhoffman.com, and a couple of days later we post our newsletter articles. So check it out, because I think it's better to be forearmed with this information, because here sooner or later you're going to run into a curmudgeon at a dinner party, maybe a well-meaning but misguided relative who's going to see you taking your supplements with a meal and criticize you. Or perhaps it'll be when you go to the doctor. And read this article. I think you'll find it useful in your personal life. All right, let's take a call from Bruce. Welcome.
Yeah, how are you doing, doctor?
Good, thanks.
I had an operation in 2004 on L4 and L5, a discectomy. And unfortunately, after about 7 years, the pain started to come back. I went to a back specialist, and he wants me to have an MRI. And I remember a while ago, I think you had a bike accident, had an MRI. So my first question is, before the MRI, which is with contrast and injection, is mm-hmm. there anything I should take to buffer it beforehand or afterwards?
Let me address that. First of all, Bruce, you got an awesome set of pipes there. Maybe you should try out for a radio job. You could be a radio announcer. You sound great. You ever do broadcasting? You just have a sonorous voice.
I was in the service and on the Coast Guard cutter Eagle, and I had to use my voice in very deep pitch.
Okay, so then maybe like when the battle stations, when you announced it, everybody jumped too. All right, so Bruce, let me point out that you actually illustrate something that's pretty common, which is back surgery often fails. And what it generally does, back surgery will provide transient relief. And if you're in really serious trouble, okay, maybe you have to get back surgery because if you're experiencing excruciating pain, virtual paralysis of a limb, loss of sensation, okay, an emergency surgery can really relieve the pressure. But ultimately, studies show that usually within 5 to 7 years, people are in exactly the same place that they were prior to the back surgery. So back surgery, maybe short-term fix, long-term does not address back problems, unfortunately, and you're in that predicament. Second, when I had my hip fracture, I just had x-rays, conventional x-rays. I never had anything beyond that. MRIs are sometimes done to analyze soft tissue injuries, and especially to look at the back. They're particularly useful because they will actually show the disc, which doesn't show up very well on an x-ray. But for me, I never had any x-rays, and I never talked about anything to do before or after an MRI. And the reason is that MRIs do not involve radiation. They're actually magnetic resonance imagery, which relies on magnetic fields. So the big thing is when you go for an MRI, you have to make sure you don't have an internal device which is potentially going to be pulled at by the powerful magnetic fields. Certain types of implants, pacemakers, things like that are problematic. They very carefully scanned me for jewelry when I had an MRI. I had an MRI recently on my foot because I was having foot pain. And they wanted to make sure I didn't have any kind of metal jewelry, which might rocket across the room or be torn out of, so if I had an earring or something, it might be torn out of my earlobe due to the powerful magnetic field. But when it comes to radiation damage, there is no radiation. There's just a magnetic field effect. And while that may have some subtle effects on the body, it's unclear that taking antioxidants or taking some sort of protective nutrients can protect you or shield you from the radiation. It's not necessary. But you're concerned about you got injected with gadolinium. Gadolinium is a dye compound which shows up more and highlights the contours of the tissue in MRIs. It's often done when you have an MRI of the brain. In your case, they want to highlight the spinal cord, which is a nerve that will be highlighted by the gadolinium. To my knowledge, there is no supplement that protects you from the effects of gadolinium. I've actually had to look this up on behalf of patients who've experienced trouble after gadolinium injections. I can't really say that there's a particular antidote to gadolinium. And
the second question is, the doctor said that the most probable course after they need to check out the MRI would be physical therapy, which I had before. It was very successful.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The other thing is something called decompressive therapy, and I wondered about, is that safe?
Well, okay, so physical therapy, of course, is to mobilize, and that's actually what the best way to deal with back problems is to, you know, go to a chiropractor, get acupuncture, do proper physical therapy exercises, get proper applications. I mean, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. Even relaxation and stress reduction has been proven to help back problems because sometimes that's where people put their stress. When it comes to decompression therapy, that's just good old-fashioned traction, and they have now devices which, you know, virtually hang you upside down or put you in a certain posture, which helps to separate the vertebrae and allow the nerve to decompress. And so instead of the old-fashioned thing, you know, where they would put you in a hospital and then they would put, like, sandbags on your legs after putting your legs in elevation, now they do it through very sophisticated machines that are computer-guided to properly apply the decompression. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think that that's fine. That you definitely want to go for the most conservative therapy possible.
This, they said, was going to be horizontal rather than vertical.
Yeah, fine. Inverted. Yeah, they're basically, it's the rack. You know, like during the Inquisition, they had the rack. They would pull people from one end and pull people from another. This is how we do it in the mercifully in the 21st century. It's not painful, but it's going to pull at you to open up the spinal the spaces between the vertebrae.
That's
sounds
good.
Sounds like the right way to go. Yep. Let me share this with the listeners before we go to a break. Okay, cancer, terrible. Heart disease, heart attacks, strokes. These are horrible. But you got to admit that the worst possible health outcome is to die, right? Ultimately. So that when we do studies, we should really, you know, we should look at the risk of, you know, high cholesterol, or we should look at a number, blood pressure, or even better, look at the risk of an actual event like a heart attack or the development of cancer. But death, that's the ultimate endpoint, right? Headline, lower vitamin D in blood linked to higher premature death rate. This study comes to us from the University of California, San Diego School of Medicine, just out this week, and it is in the American Journal of Public Health. And what they found is that it's actually a compilation of 30 previous studies. And what they found was the lower your vitamin D is, the greater your risk of dying early. And the commentary here is interesting. They say this study should give the medical community and public substantial reassurance that vitamin D is safe when used in appropriate doses up to 4,000 international units per day. I sometimes use higher, but I think you should do this under medical supervision if you're going to go above. Daily intakes above 4,000 may be appropriate for some patients under medical supervision, which I heartily agree with. But boy, exciting news out of UC San Diego. Vitamin D vindicated, vitamin D versus virtually all diseases, but also versus death. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. We'll answer more of your questions in just a moment here on Intelligent Medicine.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California. For maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Once again, a happy Father's Day. And we are in trouble. We're in trouble in this country because we eat too much and we don't exercise enough. And that would be a big enough problem in itself if we weren't in denial about those two salient facts. Two articles this week highlight the level of this denial. The first has to do with exercise. This article in the New York Times, overestimating how hard we exercise. This is actually based on a Canadian study, but North America attitudes pretty much homogeneous across North America. And we do indeed have a Canadian affiliate, CKLW, a shout out to all you folks in Windsor, Ontario, and a lot of listeners across the border in Detroit from that excellent station, CKLW, out of Windsor. The researchers did a study in a journal called PLOS-1. Researchers at York University in Toronto recruited 129 sedentary adult Canadians age 18 to 64. And they set out to find out what they knew about exercising for health. Now, there are Canadian guidelines for how much exercise you should do. During moderate exercise, according to the Canadian guidelines, your pulse should rise to about 64% to 76% of your maximum heart rate. During vigorous exercise, your pulse should be between 77 and 90% of your maximum. And another way of estimating that, because a lot of people don't have those devices, although more and more people are going to be equipped with monitoring devices. There's a real race on between Apple and Google and Nike to equip each and every American with a fitness and health monitoring device. That's a real revolution in the offing. But if you don't have a device, the American guidelines suggest that during moderate exercise, you should be able to talk but not sing. While during vigorous activity, you will not be able to say more than a few words without pausing for a breath. All right. So the Canadian researchers asked the volunteers if they were familiar with the national exercise guidelines, and you know, most were not. So the researchers then handed out copies of the guidelines for the volunteers to study. They gave them a cheat sheet and then asked if they felt they understood the guidelines. And most of them said, yeah, okay, I get it. That's pretty straightforward. Almost all of the volunteers said the guidelines were clear and they felt confident that they could complete the requisite amounts of moderate exercise. But many of the volunteers said that they already were meeting the guidelines. They said, hey, I'm already doing this. Then they put it to the test. They measured the volunteers' actual maximum heart rate with a treadmill test. And they then asked the volunteers to replicate the amount of exercise that they thought would meet the guidelines. The volunteers turned out to be inept at judging intensity. Few actually maintained a heart rate above 65% of their maximum while they were supposedly exercising moderately. And even fewer reached a heart rate above 75% of maximum during their version, what they thought was vigorous exercise. And according to this article in the Times by Gretchen Reynolds, I recommend you read it. It's a few days ago, June 11th. We'll post a link to it at drhoffman.com. A majority of the volunteers walked at a decidedly languorous pace when asked to estimate the lowest intensity exercise that would qualify as moderate and provide health benefits. So they just didn't get it. They did not understand the guidelines. They claimed they did. And then when put to the test, when told to exercise at levels of either moderate or vigorous intensity, they missed the guidelines entirely. All right. So people are kidding themselves when they, you ask, well, do you exercise? Yes, I do. Is it vigorous? Oh, yeah, of course, sure, vigorous. Well, according to the criteria, no. All right. Here's one on obesity, which is even more scary. More than half of adults say they do not think they are overweight. And moreover, they're not making an effort to lose weight, according to a new Gallup poll. Now, recent studies show that two-thirds of Americans are considered overweight or obese. That's controversial because the criteria are very, very, very rough and inaccurate, because someone who is at risk might be flabby and actually meet the weight guidelines. We call that TOFI, thin outside, fat inside. And some individuals who would outwardly appear fat are actually fit. All right, so the guidelines, they're based on BMI and other obsolete measures. But let's face it, a very high percentage of Americans are overweight or obese. And they tested men and women separately. They found that 60% of men say they're neither overweight or trying to lose weight, compared to 50% of women who said the same thing. The poll says about 36% of those surveyed describe themselves as overweight, only one-third, when actually the truth might be more like two-thirds. And among those 36% who acknowledge that they're overweight, only 18% said they were trying to lose weight. Another 18% said that they were not. So we're in trouble, because if you want to undertake action, a prerequisite to action is acknowledging that there's a problem. And a lot of folks are misguided because they don't recognize that there's a problem at all. So how are they going to jumpstart their own personal fitness program? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Denial is a river in Egypt. It's also something that many of us gravitate towards. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes, that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Janice, you're next. Hello, Janice. Are you there?
Yes, yes. I'm glad you took my call. I'm 76,
sure.
And I've had CLL for 18 years. And in January, yep. I had 2 days of chemo. And it's further reduced my immunoglobulin, so it's practically nil. And I was wondering, what can I do to increase my immunoglobulins without gamma globulin shots? Is
sure.
there any other way?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And we see this a lot, not just in people who have, in effect, you have a hematological or blood cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We see this when people are taking immunosuppressant chemo or drugs. Mm-hmm. But we see it a lot of people who just walk around and for some reason they get a lot of colds, they got a lot of infections. And then we can actually measure the immunoglobulins. We measure IgG1, 2,
right.
3, and 4, and IgA. And so ways to increase immunoglobulins. Well, you can take certain nutrients, especially helpful is zinc. Zinc is really helpful,
really?
So you want to take maybe 50, 60 milligrams of zinc. But also there's a specific product that transfers immunity. It's called Transfer Factor. Okay. And we use Transfer Factor as a supplement for people who get frequent infections. Very helpful. It's actually made from colostrum, which is the first milk that cows give, that's rich in substances that prime the immune system of their calves, their cow babies. And it actually has been proven to be helpful in raising immunoglobulin. So that's something I would take. Also considered whey protein, because whey protein, there's actually a product called ImmunoCal, which is just an example of a whey protein that's directed at supporting immunoglobulins. The amino acid profile in whey protein is actually very helpful for supporting immunoglobulins. But consider EGCG from green tea for your CLL. Their studies are underway to demonstrate that EGCG from green tea fights CLL, chronic lymphocytic leukemia. So that's something to put in your supplement regimen as well. All right.
Okay. Is there a limit to the vitamin D3 you take per day to get it up to that
top limit?
There
is. There is, because you can overdose on vitamin D3, but patients like you under supervision can take as much as 5,000-10,000 per day. So I would recommend definitely at least 5,000 of D, but taking more, you might need to get your levels checked. All right?
I was.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Good luck with
that. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure. Let's talk to Diane. Welcome.
Oh, hello, doctor. Yes. My daughter, who is in Canada, by the way, okay, she had a baby around 8 months ago, and they were having a lot of trouble with their neighbors on the top and bottom from smoking, and she was under a lot of stress and all.
She had some postpartum depression, possibly.
Right. Yes, but her husband took her to a psychiatrist who put her on Zoloft, Seroquel, and at the time, Valium. Mm-hmm. So the thing of it is, they've since, thank God, moved. And she feels a lot better. And I'm totally against this. I sent her all kinds of supplements. The thing of it is that, but she never took because she's taking this other stuff. The thing of it is, she made the doctor lower the doses of the Zoloft and Seroquel, which is what she's on. But the thing of it, can she really get off of this and take the supplement?
The answer is absolutely. She can get off. And in fact, a fairly high percentage of the patients that I work with have elements of anxiety or depression. And it's a no-brainer. In a woman who's had a baby, there's going to be some major hormonal changes. So we want to look at thyroid. We want to look at the female hormones, particularly progesterone. But also, I'm using a new tool, actually several new tools, which help guide my decisions about what supplements to put on, and even what medications to put patients on when they suffer from depression, because there actually are genetic patterns that can be discerned just with a simple saliva test, which predict whether patients will respond well to traditional antidepressant medications. And it's actually getting to the point where, in the past, we did not have blood tests. It was sort of like trial and error when it comes to medications for psychiatric problems, like try this, try that, see how you do. And we're entering an era, we haven't really arrived at it, but we're beginning to understand certain genetic predispositions that predict whether people will respond to, say, SSRI medications, but also whether they'll respond to inositol or whether they'll respond to omega-3 fatty acids. Or whether they'll respond to high doses of methylated folate, 5-methylfolate, folinic acid, methyl B12, and pyridoxal 5-phosphate, which are excellent for depression in some cases, but not everyone responds. So with these tools in hand, we actually have a better prediction of who's going to respond.
Okay, Sir, the doctor, the thing with it is, she's trying to get off of them. Now, the doctor wants her to stay on for a year, but when she went totally off, she got a little nervous, so she went back on.
So, I can't answer your question. I mean, I can't intervene in a case where someone is, I haven't seen, or someone's in Canada. In theory, she should be able to get off of medications, but either the problem is so severe that medications are required, or she may be experiencing medication rebound, or we may not have addressed the underlying problems that are causing her depression. I can't tell. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I was going to discuss liver disease that occurs without exposure to alcohol, without exposure to viruses. The leading cause of liver disease and the need for liver transplantation these days is not viruses, alcohol. It is our diets. And I promised to discuss it. We'll put it on the back burner. We'll discuss it next week because I want to get around to a call from Evelyn. Hi, Evelyn. How you doing?
Hello, Dr. Hoffman. I was a patient of yours many, many years ago.
Oh, great.
I've had asthma for over 30 years
mm-hmm.
and have used prednisone all through the years.
Right.
Now my T-score is coming back for the right and left hip, minus 1.5.
That's actually not that bad. That's not that bad. That is actually surprisingly good. Maybe some of the supplements I gave you help protect you from bone loss because, you know, you take prednisone orally or you take it via spray.
Orally.
Yeah,
especially
well, orally.
In the spring and the fall for the asthma cough.
Considering, you know, minus 1.5, that really is only osteopenia. So you're not in immediate danger. And so your doctor wants you to take a med right away?
He wants to do the reclass infusion once a year.
Yeah,
and I'm very
I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go there. But you know, look, I don't know all the facts, but my initial impression, and maybe you know, revisit me. We'll have a consultation around this. Is that that is not so severe as to require the use of an intravenous medication that runs the risk of osteonecrosis of the jaw and other serious consequences. You know, look, there are cases where people do require this medication. Nothing else has worked. They're so far gone, they're virtually walking on brittle chalk, and they're going to have a fracture at the next time they step off the curb. But you could do well with augmenting your vitamin D, getting it monitored so you don't overdose. We generally can put patients on 5,000 international units of vitamin D safely, the vast majority of patients. But also consider Ostera, O-S-T-E-R-A, which is a natural derivative of hops. It's wonderfully anti-inflammatory in bone and actually enhances bone density. It's not available over the counter, but it is available through doctors, O-S-T-E-R-A. Also, vitamin K. I would take 90 micrograms of vitamin K2 twice daily. But most importantly, strontium is a bone enhancer. But for patients who have mild osteopenia, I'm tempted not even to use strontium. So I'm not even sure that it's such an emergency. You can use strontium, 340 milligrams. You take two at bedtime, and that will definitely enhance your bone density. But Evelyn, I want to reassure you that for what you tell me, if it's accurate, you're not doing that badly at all. Maybe that intervention that I had with you years back has helped to preserve your bone. All right, thanks very much for joining us. And remember, we've got great articles at drhoffman.com. Loads of podcasts, additional information to make you a better listener to Intelligent Medicine. Check it out. And a very happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Have a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.